and thank you for joining me, New Moon Mom, on my podcast for parents, pagans, and everything in between. Join us as we talk about raising heathens and burning sage.
Hello, welcome back to New Moon Mom. You might notice some changes in the sound. I am playing around with some new equipment. I have an actual headset and microphone as opposed to recording straight from my computer. So let me know what you think. And if you hear any ambient noise, that's probably because I'm in a new location as well. So you might hear a car or two go by. So welcome back. This is the fourth episode. I'm very happy that I am sticking to it, and thank you for joining me. Today we're going to be talking about Austra and the spring equinox and all the fun stuff that's about to start happening this year. So Austra is also known as spring equinox, like I just said, and also Alban Eiler, which I learned translates to light of the earth, I believe. Normally the date is around March 20th to the 23rd. This year it lands on the 21st. It's a celebration of the balance between day and night. So spring equinox, equal amount of light and dark, all that fun stuff. It's the return of spring. Oh, I'm so looking forward to that. With the return of spring, we start to think about plants and gardens and birth and fertility. The waking of the earth, we start to notice less frost in the morning. Maybe we start to hear the birds chirping a little bit. All that awesome, wonderful stuff that just kind of helps us get past that winter slump. There are many goddesses and gods associated with this time of year. Most noted is Persephone from Greek. She returns from the underworld and brings with her spring and flowers and bloom. There's also Minerva from Roman, Freya from Norse, and I apologize if I mispronounce any of these. I'm learning just like you guys. Saraswats from Hindu, Asai. I hope I said that right. I think I might not have, though. Let me try that one more time. Asasia. Oh, man. The name is pronounced Asasia and is spelled Asseyaa. So I apologize for that one. I want to give you guys as many gods and goddesses that I can find so that you can learn more about the different practices and religions and aspects of the pagan path. So do some research with me. Let me know who you're worshiping, who you would like to hear more about, and I would gladly love to learn more. Some of the gods that we look at are the horn god, Cronus, Pan, Osiris, just to name a few. So again, let me know who your deities are, who you're worshiping, because I'm learning too. This is awesome. So at Austra, a balance occurs, kind of like that of the fall equinox. Again, a balance between the light and the dark and the light. It's kind of like the moment before the tipping point for the energies of the universe. Because think about it, we're about to come out of the dark half of the year. We've been doing maybe some like really deep shadow work. We've been really like kind of restful and inside ourselves, much like the earth kind of just hunkered down getting through the winter. And you know, if we've been doing this like shadow work and reflective inwards, maybe we've come up with some things that we're working on or we'd like to let go. And this is a really great time of the year to just kind of take a breath and let go of what's been holding us back and then move forward from it. So it's an amazing time to actually set some new goals or resolutions, or to try to reset those intentions that we might have set for ourselves in January, which was always kind of silly to me, because in January you have really bad weather, it's snowing, it's, you know, it's almost like you're forcing yourself to have a resolution at a time when the rest of the earth is saying, no, maybe we should all just chill right now. But then we get to the spring equinox, and it might be time. It might be time to set those goals in a more realistic approach and say, now's the time I'm going to start moving. Now's the time I'm going to reset my habits, because there's more of a buzz going on. There's more energy, there's more light, there's more warmth. And to force a change when the earth is asleep and resting, it just can seem daunting. And now we have this time for new goals, for new intentions, and we don't have to shovel our way out of our house to get to them. So maybe take a second, do some journaling, and write down some of your new goals or intentions that you would like to see take place at this time of the year, where you have this energy, this more light. For me, it's always going to go back to my garden. I love my garden. So I am actually staring at a list of plants that I will be planting, starting to sow soon. Usually Mother's Day is kind of when we really get our last frost where I am. So it's a good indicator for me to kind of start sowing some seeds, turning over the beds, waking up the earth where I am. But oh, and if anyone would be interested, some of those plants that I'm going to do, we'll be doing like angelica, clove, garlic, mint, rosemary, sage, spearmint, maybe some violets and lemon balm. A lot of those have double meaning for me, and some of them are medicinal, some of them are magical. So that's also something that you can look at. Planting seeds, yay! And setting those intentions. But speaking of the intentions, what we can also start to look at is the magical focus, for those of you who are interested in that. What tends to happen this time of year is that the magical focus shifts. We tend to focus on growing, or the most terrifying F word out there, fertility. For me personally, I am 2 and 3. I have my 2 little heathens. I am good. But for those of you who might be trying, might be looking for a family to grow your own, now is a great time to kind of focus in on that. And you're also looking at like balance, equal day and night. That's very prevalent right now. We want to balance the masculine and the feminine energies that we see coming in. It's a great time for some magical cleaning. I know that doesn't always happen the way that we want it to, but if we are to clean, now's a great time because we can open up the windows. We can let the air come through our house and kind of drag out all that winter stagnant energy that might be kind of sitting there, and bring in this new spring buzz. Some really simple things you can do is, if you're washing down your floors, throw some lavender oil in and maybe some spearmint oil, and it wakes everything up, but it calms it down and it kind of creates this nice little vibe. Plus, it smells amazing. It's a great time if you do sage that you can sage your house. I actually set off my fire alarms the other day trying to do that because I forgot to open all the windows. Like I said, I'm still learning. But on the first nice day that you have, the next nice first day, open all your windows, let the air in. That in itself, that simple act is so powerful because it opens up your home and it takes out all that stuff that's been sitting there, and it allows space for new things to come in. And that's what this is about, the balance, that shift, and the rise of the energy. We're going to be doing a lot more stuff outside. We're going to be, getting back to our more social aspects. And I think that the first step is in your home. And if you can make your home feel like it has a good energy to it, then that's going to travel with you. So it might be, oh, also actually jumping. So it might be less magical, but it's a great time to clean out. Clean out the toys, clean out the clothes, do a little purge, and get rid, like we were talking about, get rid of that no longer serves you. And, you know, with the full moon coming up, and this is the 8th, so it's tomorrow, it's a great time to let go of what no longer serves you, and to pass it on, to donate it, if it's donatable. If it's not, you know, find a way of disposing it safely and sustainably, then, you know, then you have that space back, and you can either leave it empty, because sometimes it's great to just walk into an open room and have that space to create the energy that you need, or you can build something in there that does serve your purpose. You know, maybe a workout area, maybe a meditation area, maybe, you know, maybe you're building my plan is to build a garden area. Shocker, I know. So we actually just did this. We went downstairs to where the boys have all of their toys, and we involved them in this process so that they could understand what we were doing, why we were doing it, and that they didn't just come home and all their toys that they like have never touched in 6 months were gone, and all of a sudden we find out that they were their favorites. So what we did is we had the boys go through and decide one at a time sort of what toy they wanted to get rid of and what toy they wanted to pass along. We talked about where it was going to go, what we were going to do with it. And if you're going to do something like this with your kids, I highly recommend having them involved for a couple of reasons. One, it teaches them to create space to be okay with letting things go, which I think is kind of a really nice base lesson for a lot of people. And also, it involves them in taking responsibility for their possessions. So maybe they do start to realize, like, oh no, I don't use this. It would be better if I passed it on to someone else. Or maybe your kids are young enough and you're lucky enough where you can just kind of tuck everything into a bag and drop it off at a donation center. If that's the case, definitely do that. So back to more of the magical or nature-based side of this is we start to also think about the sun, because the sun is returning from this point on, and then so the nights are going to get shorter, the days are going to get longer. So as we have more and more sun in the hours of our day, we can start thinking about ways to incorporate the sun and the sun's power and the sun's energy into our lives. So the next sunny day that you have, maybe make, instead of moon water, maybe you can make sun water. And it's just the exact same thing, where you focus the intent of the sun, the energies of the sun, into the water, and then you're able to use that for many different things. You can make a tea. I've actually done slow infusions, sun tea. You put the herbs in the tea, the herbs in the water, leave the water out covered in the sun for like a few hours, and then you're able to sip and enjoy that and have that for your day. So you're taking the energy of the sun with you throughout the day. And one of the combinations I highly recommend is lavender and lemon. Again, calming and energizing. It's also an amazing time to maybe update your altar, if you have one, or maybe you have like a natural area in your house where you kind of put things that reflect the time of year, right? Because I know some people have a full altar, and some people have a space that they reflect at. At this time of year, maybe you give it a good clean down and bring in some of those elements that we were talking about earlier, like the sun and seeds, and maybe you put a little plant on your area. Maybe you put, you know, some of the more traditional symbols of the time, like maybe you put a little bunny. Maybe you have like the bees come back, which is great. Rams, We have chicken feathers on ours. I have chickens and I love gardening. If you have not picked up on that, I have chickens and I love gardening. Maybe you start to change out some of the colors. You know, we were dealing with the darker half of the year, so maybe you had deeper tones on there. Maybe you lighten those up a little bit with some silver or some light blues, pinks. Yellows are awesome this time of year. Yeah, the sun. So what we were actually fortunate enough to do is we had robins nest at our house several times, and we were able to kind of document the laying, the birth, and the hatching. The hatching is the birth. As you can tell, I am not a zoologist. But we were also very fortunate to find robin's eggs after the hatching. And we kind of have those in our house, and we bring them out around this time to remind us of the rebirth that's happening now in the world. So another thing, and we're going to start talking about how to, you can start celebrating this time with your children, is it also ties into the more traditional or the more, not traditional, the more popular, the more mainstream holiday of Easter, which is based off of Ostra. So one of the most traditional things you can do is dyeing of the eggs. And we do this every year, and every year we kind of adjust what method we use. This year we're going to be trying to dye eggs with natural dyes. So what we're going to do is take things like we made elderberry syrup. So take the elderberries afterwards, and you can add them to things like rice. So if you put the elderberries or the elderberry juice in rice, and then you allow the rice to soak up the dye, and then you shake the eggs in a bag of the dyed rice, it dyes the eggs in what looks like a really fun tie-dye pattern. So we'll be trying that this year. You can also use tea and other herbs and to dye the eggs. You can purple cabbage is one of the most fun ones to do. If you boil purple cabbage, and then depending upon whether or not you add baking soda or vinegar, it changes the color. So there's a little bit of a science experiment part to it as well for the kids. And you can add in a bit of magic with this by taking a white crayon, if you have a white egg, and drawing either a sigil or a symbol that means something to you, and then dyeing the egg. And wherever the white crayon is will remain white, and the rest of the egg will be dyed the color. So it's kind of like a nice way to incorporate your traditions and a deeper meaning to the process, as opposed to just buying an egg dyeing kit from, you know, the local grocery store and having that last for like, you know, it's like a 5-minute activity for us. But if we do it this way, the boys are involved. They kind of see the process of the plants or the tea or the different vegetables that you can use. And a little bit of that science aspect is into it as well, with the baking soda versus the vinegar. And also the time duration. So if you want a deeper color, you let it sit for a longer time. And then we also get to, it's kind of how we start the intention is we can write our hopes or our thoughts, what we want to accomplish at this season, on the eggs. And then if you want, you can bury the egg and then plant something on top of it, and the nutrients from the egg will actually help the plant grow. And it'll be a way for you to kind of carry that intention throughout the year. So I hope that that's helpful for you. That's one way. And piggybacking onto that, like I said, we're going to start our garden, and I'm looking forward to it. The boys already planted their strawberries. I have my aloe plant going. It's been going strong. It's been very, very kind to me. I just got a greenhouse with a growing light, so I'm very excited to see what I can do this year, and I promise to post pictures if you follow me on Instagram, at New Moon Mom. And you can see kind of like the crazy things we're doing here. So I have an Instagram, New Moon Mom, and I also have a Facebook page, New Moon Mom. If you'd like to join any of that, I'd be more than happy. And I don't post a lot there, but I'm gonna start posting more things on the Facebook page about printouts that I've made for different sabbats or esbits or different sorts of tradition worksheets, things that people can start to use to learn, because this is what this is all about, is learning and helping each other grow as individuals and as a community. So, along with the planting of the herbs, if you don't have a garden, by the way, a great, great, great thing to do, upcycling, recycling, is taking an old jar, putting some stones at the bottom for drainage, putting some dirt on, and then planting really simple hardy things like rosemary, sage, mint, if you have the space for it to kind of sprawl out a little bit, lemon balm, these very fragrant, really easy to grow plants. And then you can put them around your house or, have a dedicated area for them. And or what I do is I bought one of those, I think it was like $30 maybe, this little put together greenhouses. And I have one in my kitchen, and the boys have their plants in there, and then I'm having another one where I'll start growing more of my seedlings, and it's kind of a nice way to have the plants in the house and contained. But if gardening's not your thing, totally awesome, no worries. You can also try baking. It's a great time to start to bake hot cross buns or anything kind of lemony. So, like maybe a lemon pound cake or lemon cookies, just like nice, fruity, citrusy, happy, sunny things. Think about them. If you are not a baker or a crafter or any of that, you still want to kind of find a way to celebrate, the best thing you can do is just go for a walk. Go out into nature and celebrate this time. Notice the changes that are happening, the small bulbs that are starting to push their way up through the earth, the return of the birds, their songs are being heard now, which is great. The trees are starting to have their buds come out. You might get a waft of like a flower coming up or something like that, depending upon where you are. You can also go visit a farm. If you have any, we have one, an Audubon near us that is a working farm, and they just had a bunch of baby lambs and baby sheep and baby goats, and I think we're gonna go visit them soon because it's a great time to kind of acknowledge the birth of this time of year as well. But if you can't get there, you can just go to a park. Just go sit outside in the sun and soak it in. And then I think that's about it for how to celebrate. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty more. And if you guys think of anything, please share it with us. I want to learn as much as I possibly can. So that kind of concludes this part of the podcast. And I know that I didn't do it last time, but I definitely want to keep up with it. Is I want to talk about the card of the podcast, the card of the episode. And the one that I chose today was the Magician. So if you're into tarot, the Magician is the kind of like let's do it card. Upright, it has like the manifestation, the resourcefulness, the power, like you have the skills and the ability to do it, go do it. If it's reversed, it can mean poor planning, untapped talents. So this card's all about new beginnings. It represents a connection of the spiritual and the material realms. It's your call to tap into your full potential for success and to make your plans, your manifestation stations, your intention to make it real. It is the element of air, and its ruling planet is Mercury. So if you are an air person and you know you it's strong, it's good, it means go get it. So I'm learning this with you guys, so that I really like that one for this episode, because it's a time to reset your intentions, to make those plans, to go and do it. And then I wanted to bring up a book that a good friend of mine had handed to me. I'm just going to pull it out. Hang on. It is the Element Encyclopedia of 5,000 Spells. The Element Encyclopedia of 5,000 Spells by Judy Eilis. And it was published in 2004. And this book is massive. It's one of those books that like you have to hold with two hands. It has almost 1,100 pages to it, and it's one of those books that like if you saw it on someone's bookshelf, you would be like, "Okay, we're serious. All right." Because it's unassuming in the sense that it doesn't shout out to you, but when you see it's just pretty. It's a pretty, pretty book. And I open this book, and the first thing that comes to me is the warning page. It warns you about how you shouldn't use anything in this book. And at the bottom, it just says, like, this book is not suitable for children. And I just got, like, such a good giggle out of it. But as I go through the pages, I mean, it covers so much, and it has so much history and research done, and it's just from every aspect, from every branch, and it just covers so much. So if you get a chance to look at this, or if you get a chance, you can order it online. I mean, it's got dress spells, it's got fig divination, it's got haunted house prevention spells, it's got just about every single type of spell that you could imagine. And even though that might not be your thing, it's an amazing overview of history, of culture, of every different aspect that you can imagine coming together in one book and one resource. So I highly, highly recommend checking it out. Again, it's the Element Encyclopedia of 5,000 Spells by Judica Eilis, Illes. And I think that's going to conclude today's podcast on Austra and opening windows and overviews of books. So hopefully you'll join me again, and check me out on Facebook, New Moon Mom, and on Instagram at New Moon Mom. And if you have any questions or, you know, want a certain topic, please let me know. I'd love to hear from you. All right? And as I say to my kids when they walk out of the house every day, be awesome, be good, be kind. Take care. Bye.